How many people have your Bibles today? If you have your Bible, stand up and raise, bear witness of God's Word. Amen. What a blessing. You may be seated. Two places I'd like you to turn today, if you would. The first is in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. That's near the end of the Bible. It's right before the book of 2 John. Two books before 3 John. Three before Jude and four before Revelation. The second place I'd like you to turn is the book of Galatians chapter 5. So 1 John 4, Galatians 5. When you find your place, say, I have it. I have some monumental news to share with you today in this sermon. If you were to know that you could leave here today with assurance, knowing that you could sin less this upcoming week than you sinned this week, how many people would be interested?
Amen.
Amen. Some of you, right? Right? I'll ask it again. How many people would love to know if you listened and applied God's word today, you could sin less this week than you did last week?
Amen.
That's better, right? Do you know that God's word gives us assurance and tells us in no uncertain terms, clear directions to how we can be able to sin less? How many people would like to be blessed by God more this week than last week?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. You know, God's word gives us that. And it all has to do with what we've been talking about. Hearing God's voice. Knowing God's voice. You say, well, I would sin less if I was listening to God more. Well, that's a no-brainer, right? Because God's not going to tell you to sin. And God would bless me more if I was obedient to Him. But understand, there's something we don't think about. We even teach our children. We say, hey, you need to listen to God. Or God says this or God says this. But you see, as individuals, as people, sometimes we don't hear God's voice clearly. We've got this great justification system inside of us that makes us think, well, this one thing that I'm thinking, well, I can justify it. So no matter if God was speaking, our world is so loud. And so today I want to talk to you part two of knowing God's voice. I want to continue what we've been speaking about, and I believe this subject to be so important that we can actually trace back every wrong decision that we've made, which caused us to sin or to get off track, every right decision, because I also believe that knowing God's voice is essential in us being obedient to God and receiving His blessings. I know this has happened to quite a few of you, but it's happened to me a lot. I can look back and I think, wow, I've been saved for 39 years. Now, have I sinned during that time? Oh, me. Have I did things I knew God wouldn't want me to do? Oh, yes. What's my problem? Well, here's my problem. Maybe your problem. So I'll preach to me today, and if it hits you, well, then oh well. You see, when I say knowing God's voice, I mean recognizing God's voice, identifying that that voice is the voice of God. It's the voice of God instructing us to do what He wants us to do. And it's not just another voice inside of us talking and telling us something. Do you know that we hear voices every day? You say, I don't know about you, Pastor, but I'm beginning to wonder. You hear voices. They're not audible voices, but I'm going to tell you something. You hear voices every day also. There was a voice this morning that told you to get up, get ready, and come. And you listen to that voice. There's a competing voice that told you, wow, what a day. You could do this or you could do that or you need to do this. That's a competing voice, right? On every little decision, a chance for you to be kind or be mean. A chance for you to be faithful or not faithful. A chance for you to be selfish or unselfish. A chance for you to disobey God or obey God. There's a voice and a competing voice. Why do we have problems identifying God's voice as the voice that we need to listen to do what He says do or what He says not to do? Because we have competing voices. And we spoke a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago. These competing voices continually speak to us, as we learned last time. The devil is that voice. But the devil doesn't speak to us in the voice we think the devil does.
Hey, come here. I need you to do something bad,
right? That's not the devil's voice. That's the voice that we paint him. If he spoke to us like that, we would say, hey, that's the devil. But he didn't speak. He's never spoken like that. You know what he said first? First thing I heard him say, hey, Eve. Hey, Eve. That tree over there, that tree was put there for your pleasure. Go take a fruit off of that tree. Go tell your husband, y'all have worked hard. He's named all these animals. Do that for him. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you the only reason that God told you not to do that is because he doesn't want you to. So, see, the devil begins to convince her.
It wasn't this mean voice that was speaking to her.
It was the voice of the devil. It's appealing. You know why? The devil uses all of our voices that are inside of us that we want to listen to. He speaks through our own voices of our own self-desire. You see, this voice is made up of all these different things about us. There's a voice of intellect. Sometimes we just think we're smart enough. I know the Bible says that, but that's not the best thing that's applicable for my life right now. Right? Intellect. I've heard a lot of people, intellectual people this week, as I watch different news programs, and they said things against the Word of God and against God, and I've listened to people by their own intellect. They just haven't read the part where God says that they're fools. Even though they think they're intellectual. But they use that intellect, and it's another voice that's telling them, these people aren't just doing this, there's a voice telling them to do this. There's a voice of our greediness that tells us, you need to have more than the next person does. You need to make sure that you hoard up this. Doesn't matter what anybody does, you work for this, you don't need to give this, it's greedy. There's a voice of our own logic that tells us, now this makes sense to your life, you know? This is what you need to do. You guys are of age. I mean, you're adults now. You can do it. The Bible said it's wrong to do this, but hey, you're adults. That's for kids. It's okay if you sleep together. It's okay if you live together. It's okay if you do all these things. It's 2015. Use your own logic. It just makes sense because, hey, it's going to be more convenient for you to be here and there. It's going to be less money. That's a logical thing. Hello. Is that God's voice telling you to do something that he said not to? No, okay. Just making sure. There's a voice of selfishness. That voice of selfishness is a voice that always wants you to come out on top and doesn't matter what else happens to somebody else. And you're born with this voice. You don't teach a kid to be selfish. You teach a kid to be unselfish because they're born selfish. What's the first word a child learns? Mine. There's a voice of our own desire for pleasure. There's a voice that happens. It comes with our physical, fleshly nature that says, that would feel good, right? This is a voice, a real voice that speaks. Is that the voice of God that says, hey, do this that makes you feel good. Whatever feel good, do it. Is that God? No. As a matter of fact, that voice has been present and spoken with every couple that I've sat there where adultery is involved in. That voice told them to go and break the bond of marriage, no matter how it's justified, saying, well, they just don't talk to me anymore, and this other person does, and I don't love them, but now this, that voice has been present. God doesn't tell you to go and commit adultery and break up a marriage. That's a voice of the devil, right? But he works through your own selfish desire. It's what you want. There's a voice of our pride that's really behind all these voices, which says, hey, you can't be embarrassed. You can't be made to look dumb. You have to be on top. You, it's pride. It's the opposite of humility. There's a voice of our overall desire to do what we want to do in spite of what God says. That voice is always there. You say, is it there with you, preacher? I'm going to pray for you. It's there with you too, pal. Every decision in our lives, we have competing voices. The devil uses all of these voices to speak to us and tempt us to disobey God. Now, there's one little word, three-letter word that we use, which means to disobey God. What is it? Sin. So how are we supposed to know if it's God's voice speaking to us? Because I can tell you, there are some times when I've realized after the fact, God definitely didn't want me to do that. I knew better. Has anybody in here ever used that phrase? I knew better. What happened? Well, I didn't do what God told me to do. 1 John chapter 4. You know what he tells us to do? To answer the question, how are we supposed to know if it's God's voice speaking to us? We're told in 1 John chapter 4 to test the spirits to see if the voice that we're hearing is truly coming from God. You say, we're talking about voices, not spirits. Let me clarify something. You can't say that a voice doesn't speak in a spirit. A spirit doesn't speak in a voice. How else would we hear a spirit, right? Do you know that God is not the only one speaking to you? If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. God gives you this Holy Spirit when you get saved, but you still have these other voices that are speaking. So he says, test the spirit. Listen as I read verses 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirits of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. It is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, two things that I want to tell you. I want you to consider. First of all, about the first verse. Do you see that? Listen to the very first word of the first verse. He says, beloved. Who is he speaking to? Speaking to Christians, speaking to his children, those that he loves. And John is speaking to Christians. Now, I want you to notice something. His command is try the spirits. Try is another word for test. So test the spirits. That's key. You say, well, I missed the key. Hold on. Spirits is plural. There is more than one spirit speaking to you. If you only had one answer to the test, would it be hard to take? No. But there are multiple voices speaking. Test the spirits. Spirit is plural. So we have to put the voices to the test to see if it is the voice of God speaking through the Holy Spirit or if it's the voice of the devil speaking through our own selfish desires. And both will be speaking. Now, we told you that the devil speaks in a variety of voices. He speaks through these spirits in a variety of voices, and these voices are not that gruff, mean, devilish voice. Those voices are things that we want to hear ourselves do. This is what we want to do. And when that idea overwhelms us and God's voice is lost in the distance, it's no different than what you saw happen in the children's sermon today. God was telling us, we just didn't hear his voice. But when we hear both voices, each time you have an opportunity to do something that God doesn't want you to do, if you're a Christian, you will hear a voice of God that tells you something. But then you will hear the other voices. Every time that you and I have stepped out of the will of God, it's because we listened to the wrong voice. That's how important this is. In verse 2 and 3, we're told that the Holy Spirit always calls man to God through Jesus. A false spirit tells man that there's another way besides salvation that Jesus offers. Did you hear what he said in verses 2 and 3? He says, He said, hereby know we the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is our litmus test. He's speaking to believers, but this is something to speak to everybody today, even if you're here and you're not saved. He's basically saying, if the Spirit is speaking, saying that to get to God, you can be good enough, then it's not of God. To get to God, you can belong to this church, that Spirit's not of God. To get to God, you can go through this class that your church offers and go through it long enough, pass it, they'll give you a certificate, they'll confirm you, and you will get to God. That's not the Spirit of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God proves itself. The right voice proves itself by saying the only way to get to God is to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Like verse 2 says, if it confesseth Jesus, believe that Jesus died for you, He was buried, He rose again, and the only way that you can get to God is to get your sin taken out from between you and God by letting Jesus cover your sin with His blood. Believe that He died for you. Believe that He is who He says He is. That's the only way to get to God. Anybody that tells you anything different than that is not telling you something of God. It's that clear. There are hundreds of thousands of churches today that are giving messages that are not including that you have to come to God through Jesus Christ. You say, are you going to talk about those churches? I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says they're in error. They're in error because they're saying there's another way to get to God except through Jesus Christ. Now, how does this apply to Christians? Well, like this. Because if Jesus lives in me through the Holy Spirit, then the things that I do, that I hear, that I'm supposed to do and do, if I'm doing them, but I know that Jesus wouldn't have done them, that it doesn't come through somebody that confesses Jesus, then I'm wrong. Amen. Then I'm listening to another spirit besides Jesus. And then it says in verse 4, this is a praise voice verse. He says, "Ye are of God." He's speaking to Christians here. He's speaking to His children. Ye are of God. Who's He talking to? Those that are saved. He says, the voice of God in you is greater than any voice. The voice of God in you is greater than any voice. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There is no way that we can make excuse and say, well, God didn't tell me strong enough. You know why? God's voice is stronger than any of the other voices. You say, what's my deal then? Hey, I've had the same deal. If I believe the Bible and it says that God is speaking to me and I believe His voice is stronger, then why have I not listened? Because there were so many other voices. And the other voices were telling me things I wanted to do. But the voice of God is always greater. Do you realize that the Bible tells us when we stand in judgment before God that man is without excuse? Why? Because as Christians, we're always told by God. It's not a matter of Him telling us. It's the matter of what we're preaching about, hearing God's voice. It doesn't lay on God. We can't say you didn't tell us. All we can say is, I didn't hear it. Right? In verse 5, the voices that are not of God should be recognizable to us. Because they speak to us the things that are not of God. You are of God, little children. So these verses should go against the Holy Spirit. It should go against the voice that is in you. If you are saved, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when we do wrong, there should be something that tells us we do wrong. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's competing against the voice of God. There's nowhere where you'll see, well, God must have gave me a wimpy Holy Spirit. He doesn't speak up when He needs to. God doesn't do that. God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. It's greater than the other spirits that are speaking to us. If you believe the Bible, you have to accept that. And then He distinguishes between the voice of the Spirit of God, calling it truth in verse 6, and the voice of the devil, calling it error. How many people would love to know that for the rest of your life, you can live in error? Nobody wants to live in error, do they? Hey, I'm looking forward to messing up again tomorrow, right? No, of course not. We want to do the right thing that's going to bring blessings on us, the right thing that's going to make our life full of peace and enjoyable. You see, we have to be able to test these voices of the different spirits to see if it is God's voice. So here's our command, test the spirits. And I would say, test the voices. I can clearly look back, and maybe you can say the same thing. Most of the times in my life, I didn't near test the voices. I just did what felt good to me. Can I get a witness? Anybody? Now, if I would have just stopped and said, would God tell me to do that? Would God tell me to be that mean? Would God tell me to be that uncompassionate? Would God tell me to be that greedy? Would God tell me to have that kind of anger? Would God tell me to lose self-control? Would God tell me not to love? Would God tell me these things? No. Why didn't you test the voice? I didn't want to. You're exactly right. Why? It didn't feel as good. So what do we need to do to identify God's voice? Well, the Bible gives us these ways, and I want to share them with you today. It's a gold mine. I can't wait to give them to you. I honestly believe, if we can lock this in our minds, you can live a victorious Christian life, receiving the blessings of God, having the peace that passeth understanding, living in the will of God, and knowing immediately when you step out of the will of God. How big is that? Here's this great news. You see, we don't have to be confused about knowing if it's God's voice that we hear, because God has shown us in His Word we can know and discern the voice of God, and we can also know if the voice that's speaking to us, speaking to our mind, because it speaks to our mind, then our heart, is one of these other voices that the devil's trying to speak to us through to tempt us to sin. You see, when we choose to believe in Jesus as our Savior, we choose to repent and accept His salvation, we immediately begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Each person that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior begins to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the first test that you have is responding to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Everybody that's lost, there is no voice of God that is telling you, don't do that. You might have a voice of morality. Maybe you were raised in a great home and they were able to teach you these things. But the voice of God is not instructing you through the Holy Spirit. You get the voice of God when you get saved, that Holy Spirit that's inside of you. Now, this is a pretty big deal. You see, the first thing that you have to respond to is the voice of God that says, come to me. The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Did you hear that? If any man hear my voice and open the door. God doesn't tell you that you can respond to him when you want to. God doesn't speak and say, get back with me. You don't decide that you're going to get saved when you're 21 or 41 or 61. You respond to the voice of God that says, today is the day you need to get saved. He makes you feel nervous. He lets you see that you're going to die and go to hell. And He offers you His Son, Jesus Christ. His voice says, come to me. Then you respond to that voice of God. It's clear. On that day you get saved, it's clear, isn't it? Then what happens throughout our Christian life? Why does that voice get so foggy? You see, that's the first step. If you're here today and you've never responded to that voice that says, accept my Son Jesus as your Savior. He died for you. He bled for you. That's the only way you can get to me. That's the first voice you need to respond to. After that, John chapter 14 tells us, Jesus tells us, when we get saved, this voice of the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us. The Holy Spirit comes into us. The Bible says, we will come into you, God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit. We will come into you and make our abode with you. That's cool, isn't it? He speaks to us. That also tells us He teaches us. I need to be taught, don't you? In John 16, Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit will speak to us on behalf of God the Father so that we'll know what to do. You can't live the Christian life you need to live without listening to the Holy Spirit tell you the Christian life you need to live. Now, the first thing, and we identified it last week as Christians, the first thing we need to realize is life gets loud, doesn't it? How many people have let life get loud? I tell you what, between raising a family and dropping this one off here and picking this one up and knowing this has to be due and here's my job and here's what's required for this and here's this relationship and here's my hobby and here's what we want to do and here's what we want to go and I've got this dilemma going on, boy, life gets loud. And those voices lead you this way or that way. And the first thing Jesus says, hey, here's the best thing you can do. Ask me to be the loudest voice. You say, is it that simple? See what you think. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. Him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Hey, you didn't ask. God, I don't know what to do. These voices are coming here. And then when we ask, there's another situation. You see, so many times we fail the simplest thing of asking God, but then when we do ask, something else happens. We ask what to do, But then we don't put ourselves in a position to hear God speak. I'm going to talk to you today about being in a position to know it's God's voice. Because here's what I realized. This was huge, and God laid this on my heart weeks ago. I couldn't wait to share it. I realized the biggest failure I've had as a Christian, I'll share my failures, okay? The biggest failure I've had as a Christian is not that God hasn't spoke to me. It's that there was a large part of my life I was not in a position to know it was God's voice. What do you mean not in a position? We're in church. I was. Hey. But I was not in a position to hear God's voice. What do you mean? Well, I think our biggest problem as Christians is that we're not in position to hear the voice of God clearly. And so because I'm thinking that, I don't want it to be your thought unless you can answer this question. So I'm going to give you a chance to answer this question now and then at the end of when we read our biblical proof, okay? Let me ask you this. Are you in a position to hear God's voice clearly, to know that it's God? Are you in a position to do that? Don't answer me out loud. Take this time, about 5 seconds. You'll know the answer. Are you in a position to hear God's voice clearly? I think this is an epidemic subject. So many times we're not putting ourselves in position to hear God clearly speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Here's 4 ways that God tells us we can put ourselves in a position to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, to hear it, know it's God's voice. These are right out of the Bible. You can apply these 4 ways right now and answer this question if you're in a position, because it makes no difference. Like, I could preach to you the subject of hearing God's voice and knowing. I could preach to you the subject of saying, okay, you need to obey God when He speaks to you. But if God is speaking and you're not in a position to hear God, nothing else matters. These guys, great guys in this children's sermon that stood over here and over here and over here, not close enough to hear, great guys, but they weren't in a position to hear my voice. In the same way, when we distance ourselves from God by not doing the things we're going to talk about today, we put ourselves in a bad position to hear God. It's not that God isn't speaking. Number one, the first is prayer. That's obvious, isn't it? If we're not actively involved in communication with God, we're not likely to identify His voice. I've had people call me before that I haven't talked to in a while, and they talk to me as if I know who they are. If the conversation gets long enough, well, I'll use the buddy thing. Hey, buddy, how you doing? But if it gets long enough, I have to say, who is this? You know why? We hadn't talked in a while, right? But if I'm talking to Him, if I'm praying to Him, if I've got that conversation going on with Him, I can identify His voice. He speaks to me. See, conversation is you talking to God and God talking to you. But I became under conviction. I shared this with you not long ago. But I became under conviction about prayer life years ago. I worked and ran a business. There was somebody that I went and picked up to go to work every morning. You say, why'd you do that? Well, if you run a business, you want to make sure somebody's there, pick them up, right? Can I get a witness, anybody that owns a business? You'll never worry about that person being there. Hey, I'll pick you up, right? So I picked him up. I took him to work, right? Picked him up in the morning. He said, thanks, nice guy. We worked through the day. Didn't have any conversation, but we worked through the day. We went to lunch. I bought his lunch. He said, thanks. Took him back to work. We worked all day. We didn't talk much, no conversation. I took him home. He said, thanks. We never talked. I didn't know too much about him. He didn't know too much about me. I just wanted the work done, right? I realized our relationship stunk. We had no relationship. We worked together. We lived together. We lived working together. But our relationship stunk. And then I realized, hey, Mike, you do this to God every day. You thank Him in the morning. You thank Him at meals. And you thank Him at night. You don't have a prayer life. How would you know God's voice? But man, when you're praying to Him and you're calling out to Him, and you stay and listen for the answer, and you're earnestly on speaking terms with God, then you'll know God's voice when it speaks to you. It's an overwhelming leading. It brings peace over you. You know, that is a home run, God. That is a green light. I pray red light, green light all the time. God, give me a green light, give me a red light. And if you're on speaking terms with God, man, that's a good place to be. So your prayer life, There's a lot of people in church that aren't speaking on speaking terms to God. I was. Do you think that's possible? Number two, the next is the Holy Scriptures of God's Word, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration, you know what that word is? Inspiration, it's inspired. That means God breathed. God gave us His Holy Word. It's instructions. The Bible says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works, right? The Bible's given to us to give us the answers. So if your prayer life is there and you're hearing God speak, and then the Holy Scriptures are not a part of it, you still could not hear God speak. Why? Well, here's the instructions. These instructions reach down into your life and my life. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning between soul and spirit, piercing down even to the marrow of the bone. That means it can get way down into your life, the things that nobody knows. Right? So the Bible is the way we can know God's voice. You say, well, I can read the Bible and I don't know God's voice. No, I have to disagree. See, the Spirit inspired the Word of God. It inspired each man to write it. When I'm studying to preach, I know that I'm not smart enough to even find some of the things that He's showing me. It's the Spirit of God leading me. And then when you sit here as a Christian, the Spirit of God in you opens the windows of your mind to hear it. So the Spirit, 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 it's working. And then when you acknowledge, hey, this is good, this is from God, then that Spirit acknowledges and my Spirit hears it. And before long, we're hearing the Spirit. And all of a sudden, you can understand something that you couldn't understand when you just get it open and read it, right? It's Spirit-led. God speaks through His Word. But here's the deal. This written Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, they show us the mind of God. These Scriptures are inspired, so we know that if we have a voice telling us to do something that contradicts God's Word, that it's not the voice of God. Because God doesn't contradict Himself. Some of the things and laws I've seen passed in the last 7-8 years blow my mind. And you hear people justifying them and standing up and saying, hey, this is something that it's okay because, listen, and even with the religious spin on it, because God loves it. If you love somebody, you shouldn't, in the name of diversity, in the name of tolerance, you have to accept whatever. The Scriptures say it's wrong. If the Scripture said it's wrong, God won't disagree with Himself, so it's not God's voice. Whose voice do you think it is? And the things that are being taught in our public schools, the things that are being taught in households, acceptance of sin that disagree with God's Word can't be the voice of God. Whose voice do you think it is? And He has the voice today that the world is listening to. You say, well, how can I read the Scripture and know that God, I can hear God's voice clearly? How can you understand this? Listen, if you were to hear God's voice and it doesn't agree with Scripture, you know it's not God's voice. If you don't know the Scripture, you'll never know. That's the campaign the devil has to get the Bibles out of churches, to put it on a screen, give 4 or 5 different versions to make a point up here. Instead of taking out of one, listen, anybody that preaches to you that has to use 5 versions to make a point, quit watching them. Amen. They're manipulating the Word to get it to say what they can. I can find a book and cut little pieces out to make it say what I want to say. If it can't be said in one version, don't say it. God doesn't need your help to form His words together. He speaks clear enough, right? So what I'm saying today is the campaign to get the Bible out of the home, the Bible out of the church, the Bible out of the school, the devil knows that because you can't hear God's voice and know that it's God's voice if you don't have something to test it against to see if it contradicts it or not. Do you understand that? So it's prayer. And it's the Holy Word of God. If we fail to use the Bible, if we fail to study the Bible, if we fail to preach the Bible, if we fail to teach the Bible, then we go against what God's told us to do. And it's going to be difficult to identify the voice of God. So without the Holy Scriptures of God's Word, we're not in a position to identify the voice of God. Without praying, we're not in a position to identify the voice of God. You think God would like you to gather your family around the table and have Bible study in your home? Well, absolutely. Absolutely would. Why? We say, train up a child in the way it should go. According to who? According to my way? No. No. Well, am I teaching them my way or God's way? They're hearing a lot out of the book of Mike. But are they hearing anything out of the book of God? You understand? We spend more time trying to teach our kids some other something so they don't have anything to apply against the Word of God. And here's the travesty. When we can focus on them, hey, they can go to a Christmas play and learn what happened and it becomes in their mind. When they can go and join a youth group, when they can go in Bible school, or they can go to Sunday school and they can learn, they can go to Awana's and learn the Word of God. Listen, they might not be able to say every verse, but they've got something to test the wrong voice against. So when the Holy Spirit comes into them, it's going to immediately say, that's wrong. Yeah. Why? Why is it going to say that? Because the Holy Spirit is saying, this is what the Scripture said. It's a pretty big deal. Pretty big deal. I do want to back this up by being able to say in John 14, 26, see if this backs up this point. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, that is who we're talking about living inside of Christians, right? When the Father will send him in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. How can you remember something that you haven't learned? So he says, he will bring it to your remembrance. Now there's another way that God tells us we can be in a position to hear his word speak clearly to us. Besides prayer and holy scriptures, this one might blow your mind. God tells us that we put ourselves in a good position to hear his voice clearly by singing praise to him. The kids even said it this morning, right? You say, what do you mean by sing? How can me coming in and singing a song in church let me hear God? Well, don't ask me. Let me tell you what God said, okay? This is Ephesians 5, 17 and 9. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You want to be filled with the Spirit? You want to have the Spirit speak to you? Sing to Jesus. Sing to God. Sing praise to Him. Did you know that? Singing songs of hymns and praise to God invites God to speak to us through the Spirit. That's why we do it. It's just not something for a filler or to show off somebody's voice. Listen, if the Lord comes back today or you die, this is the last sermon you hear. You won't hear any sermons in heaven. There's no sermons in heaven. It's singing and praising. That's what God wants around Him. So when we sing and praise Him, He says, let me bless you with the Spirit. Why don't we sing first and you hear me pray? God, we receive this offering of praise. God wants your praise more than He wants your money. When you offer Him your praise and say, I'm singing to praise you. When we're thinking about flying away, when we're thinking about blessed assurance, when we're thinking about all those things God's saying, hey, I'm going to meet with you today. I'm going to speak with you today, right? And we come together here as a group and do it. Let me reel this back in. I'm getting excited, okay? God wants us to sing to Him so that we can hear the Holy Spirit speak to us clearly. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I like this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I'm going in that church today and I'm not singing because I don't like what they're singing and I wish they would sing this and I wish they'd sing it to a different beat and I wish they would sing this or that. I hope you can get over that before you get to heaven. Going to sit here and talk about traditional music. You're going to sit and talk about contemporary music. Every contemporary song every traditional song right now was contemporary at one point in time. You realize that? Adam and Eve weren't given a hymn book, right? They all have to make their way. You know how a song makes it to be a song we should sing? If it glorifies God, period. That's what music you ought to like. Music that glorifies God. So we can see that we put ourselves in a good position to hear God speak clearly to us when we can clearly identify His voice by praying, hearing, and studying His written word and singing hymns and spiritual songs that praise God. Tell me these three ways again so far. What's the first one? Praying. What's the second one? The Bible. What's the third one? Singing. And fourthly, focusing on godly things. It's getting our mind right, you know? I go back to that Cool Hand Luke movie, right? You know what he needed to do? Get his mind right. Luke, you need to get your mind right. He needed to get it on the way that they were supposed to be acting there. He needed to get his mind right. God says we need to get our mind right. We need to focus on the things that we see that are good. Focusing on the things that God has done or is doing. Focusing on the things that we can praise God for in our life instead of worrying about the unknown. So many of us run around anxious and worried, worrying what's going to happen if this happens and what's going to happen if this happens. Instead of saying, God, you gave me today. What if I go to the doctor and he gives me this test and I find out this and I'm going to worry about this? There's no glorification. There's no edification in God. He wants you to focus on the good. You say, you're being oblivious. No, I'm trying to be godly. I'm going to prove to you in Philippians chapter 4. I want you to read this. Philippians chapter 4. This is what he tells us. See if this makes sense. Verse 6 through 9. Be careful for nothing. This means do not worry. Don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God. Hey, anybody interested in a little peace? Yes. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen to these instructions. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. We got to keep our mind on things of God. We got to not sit and worry. Well, this group is saying this, and this group should be doing this, and this group should be doing this. If you do that, then you might get things going your way, but you'll have five separate groups in a church. We need to worry about glorifying God, what praises Him. We need to thank God for what we do have. Dwell on the positive. You're saying, you're just supposed to be positive. Listen, I believe God wants you to be positive. There's enough negative Neds and negative Nellies running around here trying to find fault in everything that's happening. God wants us to look and be able to say, God, another day, thank you for it. What would you have me do? Thank you for the last one, right? Amen. Paul praised Him in the midst of whatever. Who am I to say, God, I deserved a better day, right? How does that make us sound? He wants us to praise Him. Dwell on godly things. Well, it's too hot in the church because there's too many people. Well, there's too many people in church. What a terrible thing. I don't want to be a part of that. Wow. You get what I'm saying? Amen. We have a choice to focus on godly things. If we want to hear God's voice clearly and know that it's God's voice, instead of the other voices that speak to us, then we need to actively be praying, talking and listening to God, speaking and reading and hearing the Holy Scriptures, singing hymns of spiritual songs of praise to God, and focusing on the godly things that we see happening, the good things that we see happening, the positive things that God is doing. When you put these in perspective and you put all of them together, we have one word that describes all these actions. Can I give it to you? Worship. Pick your feet up a little bit. The reason that we don't hear God speak so clearly a lot of times is because we fail to be faithful in worship. When I look back on my life and see the times I became distant with God, I became distant in worshiping God. Now, God does want you to worship Him individually, but He calls you to collectively come and be a part of a body or group. You know why? Because I'm not going to be strong all the time. You're not going to be strong all the time. But we're supposed to be strong together. So when I'm weak, you're strong. And when you're weak, I'm strong. And when two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst. And what are we going to do? Well, let's see. We're going to come together and pray. We're going to come together and we're going to read the Bible and teach the Bible. We're going to come together and sing. And we're going to come together and praise God. How about that? What do we call that? We call that church. That's worship. When's the last time we were actively, you came in and somebody just couldn't, and the whole service was taken up by people just standing up, praising God, testifying. That's part of worship. I'm saying this. Worship is key. The other thing that we should know is if we fail to come together faithfully and worship God consistently in these ways, then we begin to fall out of fellowship with God. You say, how is that bad? Because the other voices of our selfish desires that the devil uses begin to get louder and clearer to us. Why did I go against what God says back in my life? Because those voices were speaking louder than God's voice, because I distanced myself from God. I distanced myself from prayer, from God's holy word, from singing any kind of songs of praise, and from praising God, fellowshipping, coming together and worshiping. I took myself out of worship and I said, I'm good just for Sundays. I can't do Wednesdays anymore. And then I took Sunday nights out of it and said, hey, this is for me. So I got Sunday mornings. And then before long, it wasn't hard for me just to replace Sunday morning with something that another voice told me to do. Here's a big hint to you. I know you're going to take vacation. I want to take vacation. I'm going to take it. I know some people are going to be sick. I know you're going to. I'm going to be. Those are good excuses not to be at church. And you need to get away and you don't and have some time for yourself. And if you're sick, you need to stay away. But if it's a reason besides that, that's not God's voice telling you not to come and worship. It's not. Whose voice is it? It's the voice of our selfish desires. If it's not God's voice, it's the devil's voice. God would never tell you, don't come. God would never tell you, hey, plan this. It's at church time. He would never tell you that. It's not God's voice. That's our logic thinking again. That's our trying to make it work out. That's saying, this is best for everybody. Would that be what God's wanting? Well, no. We can justify it. You say, you're unreal. I'm giving you something that's real. Amen. You tell me how clear you hear God's voice if you put these things into practice. Every one of us are in a constant battle between the voice of God and the voice of selfish desire. The Bible calls it spiritual warfare. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles is a King James word. You know what it means? Schemes. The devil's scheming against you. Put on the armor of God so you can stand against the scheme. You know what his scheme is? I'll tell him this. Watch what happens. This is something he really wants to do. It's going to be hard for him to refuse that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me tell you something real. You just watched Halloween happen. You saw these little people running around. There's 10 times that many running around in the real world. Spirits of Satan. Spirits of Satan. They're speaking to you. Here's an eye-opener. They're speaking to your children. They're speaking to mine. It's the voice of the devil. You say, oh, you're trying to scare us. No, I'm trying to show you what's real. It's a real battle going on out there. The devil wants to give us a voice that is something fleshly we want to do, but it's to get us off track. You say, well, what would he tell us? What would he tell us? Well, he would tell us to do anything that separates us from God. It's a real voice. You say, well, what do you mean? You see, I think Paul says it best, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Glory to God. What he's trying to tell us here, if we're saved, we have a mighty power of God that's working in us in the form of the Holy Spirit that helps us throughout our daily war of the voices. And it gives us the ability to make a split-second decision about what we should do or what we shouldn't do. Well, why? Why is that? Because these voices, let me identify them to you. You see, these voices are different than the voices that we think. These voices are voices of selfishness. These voices are voices of pride. They're voices of envy, voices of jealousy, voices of strife or conflict, voices of hate, voices of revenge, voices of depression or discouragement. You know, every time I'm counseling somebody that's depressed, I realize there is a true voice speaking to him a lot different or a lot more than I am. That voice is saying, you're no good. Your life is terrible. What do you have to be happy about? Listen, this person didn't want you. That's not working out for you. You should be in a different spot in your life. All those voices speak. That's the spirit of depression. It's as real as you and me sitting here, and it's the voice the devil uses to wear on somebody and wear on somebody. So I have to have another voice to battle against that voice. I have to identify it. So if I'm walking with God, the Holy Spirit says, hey, listen, you were not given the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you were given the spirit of adoption whereby, Mike, you cry, Abba, Father, because you're a child of mine, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. If I don't have that voice going against that other voice, I'm going to get depressed, even as a Christian. I'm going to get discouraged. I'm going to step out of the will of God. And as a Christian, Christians sin, all kind of different sins. If I've got that voice telling me to be lazy, Hey, you don't need to go. You don't need to do this. Other people are going to do it. Hey, why are you even coming? You just need to quit. You're old enough now to where you've done enough. Just sit back and let everybody else do it. You don't need to be doing it. The church is going to go on. That's the voice of laziness. It's not coming from God. God will never tell you not to serve Him. He will tell you to be instant, in season, out of season. He doesn't say you have a time to retire being a Christian. There's somebody, the reason He's giving you breath today, Mr. or Mrs., is so you can make an impact on somebody else in this world, or else you're useless. Might as well fly away. He's got you here for a reason, and it's not to ride the pine. God has a reason to have you here. But a voice will tell you to be lazy. A voice will tell you to be sexually immoral. There's a voice that will speak to you that gives you justification to do something the Bible speaks against. And if you don't have that walk with God, if you're not on speaking terms with God, if you're not in His Word, if you're not praying, if you're not singing to Him, listen, it is very hard for that to happen to somebody who is actively in a relationship with God that's hearing the voice of God. For them to be able to let this other voice overwhelm them, I don't know of any instances, and I'm the pastor. It always comes from getting away. You say, is that why you harp on that all the time? Yes, I'd rather tell you here than up there. I'd rather spend an hour together on Sunday morning than an hour on Thursday evening trying to patch up things. I'm more than willing to, but I'm telling you, it starts by being infrequent with our prayer, our Bible study, our songs, and our glorifying God. I want to close with this thought. I discovered something in the Bible that I thought was monumental. I just want to be able to put it into words here if I can. The book of Galatians, where I told you to turn. We have a passage of Scripture in there that talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Does anybody know the fruits of the Spirit are described to us in Galatians? Galatians chapter 5. If you turn there, this is what you'll read. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. It's a war, right? There's a voice of our flesh, a voice of our spirit. It's working against each other. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, it's telling you there's a battle going on inside of you. You've got a voice of the Spirit, a voice of the flesh. But I saw something, and I thought this was pretty unique. It identified the voice of the flesh first. I'm going to read you the voice of the flesh. Listen how this voice speaks to us. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Wrong, right? Somebody please say amen.
Amen.
Adultery is wrong, right?
Amen.
Fornication. Let me describe fornication. Sex outside of marriage, period.
Amen.
Fornication, the works of the flesh. That means God's not telling you to do them. That means they're wrong. That means they're sin. That means the devil's telling you to do them. Uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Witchcraft is anybody who is claiming power outside of God's power. Hatred, variance, that means discord, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, orgies, revelings, such like this which I tell you before that I have also told you in the times past, they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. To decipher some of these words, it means jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, witchcraft, immorality, sexual immorality. You say, man, people have them. Every person. Now listen to the fruits of the Spirit. Verses 22 and 23. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Long-suffering, just to verify, that's patience. Temperance, just to verify, that's self-control. That's not losing your control in situations. We always look at these as fruits of the Spirit, but here's what I want to show you today, which I thought was so neat. I always looked at these, and maybe you thought too, well, hey, this is how you're going to know if somebody's a Christian, because, hey, they're going to show the fruits of the Spirit, right? They're going to show love, joy, peace. Well, listen, I don't think that's a good test. I think they will, but I can tell you, I was a Christian, and I didn't show those things. So what happened? Have you ever been a Christian and not shown those things? What happened? And why is he telling us? I believe he's showing us the fruits of the Spirit so that we can identify if it's God telling us something or not. Now listen to me. Hear me out. When he's telling us the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those things, he's telling us these are the way God's going to speak to you if they're outside of these ways. If God tells me not to love somebody but to hate them, then that's not fruit that God would bear. A fruit is evidence of something. The apple on the tree is evidence of what kind of tree it is. If you see the apple, what kind of tree is it? Apple. So it helps you identify the fruit, helps you identify the tree. So when God's giving us the fruits of the Spirit, he's telling us, if it's the Spirit speaking to you, these are the fruits of the Spirit. This is how you'll know it's the tree of the Spirit. Does that make sense? I never looked at it in that way before. I always thought, hey, the fruit of the Spirit is telling me how to identify Christians. It's telling me how to identify it's the Spirit of God speaking to me. If he's speaking love to me, it's got to be God, because the devil wouldn't speak love. If he's speaking peace to me instead of turmoil and adversity, it's got to be God. It can't be the devil. Amen. If he's speaking to me and telling me, you've waited long enough, I'm sick of this, and I have just lost my patience, it is not God telling me that. If I act out of that and throw something across the room or kick it or hit somebody or lose complete control or cut somebody out or tell them, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, and it's a fit of rage, I've lost self-control, God didn't tell me to say that. When I act out and I say, I'm not giving you that. You don't deserve that. Get out and get a job and work for that. I've got my own family support. I can't do that kind of work. Then it's not the goodness God wants you to have in giving. That's not of God. He wants you to be gentle and kind. When I say, how in the world can I do this? And listen, I better worry, and I've got this diagnosis and the bills are coming and I'm not showing faith. Guess what? That's not God feeding me a line that says lose faith. Who is it? Now, do you see what we're talking about? Amen. Knowing the voice of God, how you can know the voice of God. The voice of God will speak in the fruit of the Spirit of God. Amen. And there's the fruit of the Spirit of God. So first thing is, in order to hear the voice of God, get saved. That'll be the first voice you hear. Number two, get a prayer life. Talk to him as much as you text somebody every day. Spend time in the Word of God, Scripture, reading it, hearing it. Sing songs of hymns and praise of joy. Sing to God. And focus on the things that God's doing or hasn't done. The things that he tells you to do or not do. Focus on godly things. And then gauge this test by if the voice is bearing fruits of the Spirit. Because he described to you the way the Spirit would speak, right? Now, let me go back and ask you. Are you in a position to hear God clearly speak to you? You might answer it different than you may have before. But you can change that right now. I want you to stand with me. If we put ourselves in a position to hear God, then we hear the voice of God speak to us. The Holy Spirit will give you a peace and agreement with God. Let me explain something. This is not something you have to say, well, every decision, it's going to take me an hour to weigh all these things through. Do you know that once you start doing it, God will give you split-second decisions on if it's what he wants or what he doesn't want? The Holy Spirit will thump you. And I hope he's thumped this morning. If you're in this congregation this morning, you've never answered God's initial request for you to come to him. If you're not sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know that you know that you know that you're saved. If you're not sure, then God's going to call you this morning. You'll hear his voice say, you better make sure you're saved. You have to respond to that voice. It'll be the voice of God. The devil won't be telling you to get saved. God loves you and he will. And then if you're a Christian in this room, you have to apply all these different tests. This is when we need to get on our knees and say, God, I want to hear you more clearly. Convict me in these areas and encourage me in the other areas. And then you pray for your children, you pray for your marriage, you pray that all those that you love are hearing God's voice. identifying God's voice, knowing it's His voice, do you realize if we leave here today and you have peace with God with this and you ask Him to do this, you can actually sin less this week than you did last week. You can have more peace this week than you had last week, right? And you can be blessed by God because you'll be doing what God wants you to do, not what the devil's telling you to do. Father God, I love You and I praise You. I thank You for this time. I pray, God, that You move people, move in our hearts and move in our mind. I pray, God, for each person here, if there's one here that doesn't know and hasn't accepted Your Son Jesus as Savior, I pray for their salvation today and for Christians all over this room, Lord. We want to hear Your voice clearly. You'll know the ones that do, Lord, as their prayers are lifted up to You. I pray, God, You answer them and just, Lord, pull up close to them, draw close to them at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.